Durban is, I would say, it's about 2.5 to 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours in about, another half an hour.
Very set up. What are the then suggested was that, I mean, from the ANC side, you know, those who intend going a couple of times, they are moving, I think, you know, to the city, so that the number that has been allocated, because it looks like people who have to sleep over in terms of the problem. You can't make it if you're too tired.
Thank you for
the
sharing the talk as I'm supposed to share, and I was not to be present to be this long, we have missed on the
sorry, yes, ma'am. I think the acting chief would just say that they might have started by I don't know what the issue should be in this.
Thank you very much. Members, I want to thank you very much because Friday is difficult for members of parliament to report forward. I don't know why. It's a culture that is in the 1665. And I'm very happy, even if we are still 1% short of the quorum, that we are this late now. Considering that it is a Friday. We were to have two things before us today. In addition to that, we are to, I don't know if you know, but I so we were to receive two people before us. Honorable Banner, what is the other surname for my Kola. Kola Banner. Yes, I wanted to say that without looking at the film. I was trying to memorize that earlier. I was not talking about it. Okay, and we went to have the same before us. I think we should take the issue of the same because I want to the Honorable Kola Banner to also understand the frustration we face. Just for you know, you could assist us as a member of parliament. At some point you understand that sometimes you are portrayed as a committee that's not like this. So I just want to start with the translator for you to understand the speakers we come across as a committee. I just received information only 5 minutes, 10 minutes ago that the friend has withdrawn the submission. There is a formal letter before me submitted now at the beginning of the meeting. And it reads that the Public Finance Management Act voluntarily submitted by me has been withdrawn in accordance with a request from Finance Minister Solomon. Due to a misunderstanding, I was not able to inform you in good time. I apologize for any inconvenience for this hearing. Firstly, I would like to accept the apology on behalf of the committee. Having accepted the apology and thanking the chair for the defense of writing to us all the eat to the late hour, that is still highly appreciated. And I would like to firstly express my, I wouldn't say dissatisfaction, but disappointment for the withdrawal, but I would ask that before I give you my reasons for disappointment, I would open the space for Advocate Swart, who may have shed a bit of light on this matter. Because he delivered the letter. Doesn't even say why the Minister of Finance has an influence in the withdrawal of this, but maybe he shed light on that. And I would open it to Jenny. really back up also if there is any additional information. I'm okay, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. After our decision on Tuesday regarding items for the agenda for today, I was courteously informed to the members because they voted for my party. And then Mr. Trent informed me that he's been contacted by the Minister of Finance and had a discussion on the request he has before he sold his proposal. And I asked him why, and he indicated to me that he got to understand from the Minister of Finance that they are busy with planning amendments and formulating amendments which would incorporate Mr. Trent's proposal. Now, I didn't go into a long argument with him about that. I just asked him if he did inform the committee, and he said he informed the Minister of Finance. Now, I explained to him that the proposal was given to the Speaker, and she was drawn to the Speaker, and I suggested that a copy to this committee, and that's why I got this morning and brought it here. Now, I didn't go into the full details. He seemed to accept the fact that the Department of Finance is busy with amendments which incorporate these. But as I said last week, Chair, and I want this on record, when we had the other proposal which was starting on the lottery. And BCI came here and actually initially indicated that they are only at the start of the 2-year process of looking at the amendments, looking to want to be the first year for research and policy. And upon our pleasure, they shortened the time now to incorporate those amendments which actually suggested for truth and this year amendments to be before the end of the financial year. I haven't been that long in the committee, so I'm quite sure that you and other members would know that there seems to be a pattern. But the moment a member brings a proposal to this committee, all of a sudden the department is also busy with that. Now, there may be validity in most of these instances. I'm not prepared to accept that this is the committee itself. But we are also sitting with stuff. Chairperson, proposals that deal with problems in terms of service delivery, in terms of the security of the people of this country. The department and the executive who actually have the obligation to put in place legislation, to bring laws before Parliament, to put in place legislation to execute such service delivery or to ensure such security matters to the members, to the people of our country. They would be lax with us for years and years. And then all of a sudden, the moment Parliament or a member of Parliament gets so exasperated by the fact that nothing is happening, comes with a proposal, all of a sudden they want to come and have a be busy with it. But I do think, and this I propose to the reference to last week or to the 20th thing or even today, but I do think that sometimes we as a committee on behalf of Parliament need to make some remark on this or send some message out to the executive that they can't come and hijack every proposal that members want to put in place for the benefit of the people of this country, purely by stating that the department is going to have done anything wrong. I'm actually of opinion that today this morning is going to get to a similar thing in terms of things that happened years ago, but there's no movement of that. And I'm not putting myself a prophet, but I want to venture a guess that if we meet next week with the department on this proposal before today, you will be at the same argument, I'm quite sure. Okay, in terms of the trend and the most common sense.
Madam Chair, I would have to take myself to the trade situation. Through the leadership development of Parliament, I am busy with my objectivity, and part of this is specifically on the public finance. So I happen to know that it is sincere what the minister is saying, and that I am in consultation with Treasury as well as with the Auditor General's office with regard to certain aspects of the TSMA as it is in this fashion. So this section alone, I could say that it was not a frivolous excuse for the minister. Thank you.
comes
to you
and
mm-hmm. Yeah, check us in without making a mountain out of a molehill. I think we need to share some experiences. I would like to comment on the issue. Maybe link it to the culture and the character of this community. We first have, maybe we should start, and I'm not that I'm responding to Advocate Trump, but it is important that all members of this community to share some experience. It is our belief that members of parliament do have constitutional provisions in terms of the oversight on following up on the department as well as the executive that has to implement what is expected from them. One of the views that I believe is shared is the understanding that submission to this committee are always seen as an endeavor to close gaps that are in the legislative framework, whether the oversight or an amendment to perfect our very systems that we have to with the objective, whether in terms of addressing a national interest or a very particular issue, as it has been the case, for instance, with pensions and whatever. What I think out of this also, without making a big thing out of this, and I'm just raising that, it is perception that will, because of certain things, be drawn wrongfully by assuming that this committee, after something has been tabled to you, yes, we not acknowledge the process. I believe that we expect of whoever presents as a member of parliament in his own or her own capacity, is expected like to have sorted some help in terms of ensuring that this as a last resort, such an issue might have been either dealt with or not, hence there are such provisions. So it is also our belief that even the challenges that we encounter, although people we are seen as individuals, but if we live, also political parties on their own do assist members, but parliament as parliament has got a resource that we have to help members. I'm just saying, I think it has to be communicated to the trend that what he could have done, he should have come here, you know, so that we benefit even out of what he has said. If from this side, from where I see her to grow, conclusion, one would unfairly draw a judgment that he has undermined us, because when someone retreats from a process issue that has been acknowledged, even from the speaker, if you follow the process up to here, and we are about to deal with the issue, and then he has made a consultation now. We believe we represent South African Parliament, and I'm saying this in good faith, that we have to learn. We have capacity demonstrated, I'm sure the DA and others, I'm just saying, where even leaders of parties, when they present, we always expect them to come and appear here like any other person, in terms of the principles that we should always be sensitive to. So I'm just saying, it is important that we communicate them. We are very happy and pleased at more, because we are the ambassadors of this committee, we encourage people to make submissions. But at the time when we try to deal with the workload, and we have learned, whether we never ever, so I will challenge anyone who would assume that we tell things, we never see things with prejudice, not I imply anyone said that. But I'm saying this for record, Mr. Person, that I think in Mr. Trump's case, really, and I would like you to communicate even to the minister. That it is our belief, much as we know that they are accessible to any member of the parliament. But by virtue of having this on the paper, it is in the other paper of parliament, the process must be respected. It might have been out of ignorance, but that you must know. Let me also respond on the question of process issue and others. And I'm not responding to advocates, but I must say this. We have never been dictated to this committee by any department or any particular committee. There are people who have assumed that our duty is just to deal with process issues and content. And we have always argued. We say this is our right in terms of our constitutional mandate to make sure that whoever sponsors is dealt with fairly, not rely on another. Only if we have reached an agreement in principle that this issue be referred to the relevant authority. And we have even drawn them to come and present as a process, as a norm, that those departments cannot comment on bills outside this meeting. So I thought I should really endorse them. But thanking also the comments, because they've allowed us also to educate one another in terms of
thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. But I hope the question on all these questions, I think they are very important, and I hope our recording facility will assist you to go back to the audio record to access all the compliance of minutes. Especially when a member says, I want to put this on the record, I want them to be very carefully captured, like everything else in terms of the minutes. Because we are going to respond to the president and to the minister on the basis of the discussion here, and I will need to benefit from the minister and the audio record in terms of our actual committee. This is very funny.
Chairperson, you know, one thing very deeply about our committee, how serious is our committee taken by and whoever is in the consensus. We would like to make known to people this committee has to be taken seriously. And if a person has made submission, that person should be in touch. Actually, even if they have written a letter, personally expressed themselves to say, why? And additional to that, Chairperson, I think it was only right for our chairperson to actually to contact you in some way to say this is what has happened. But at least you are not taking the surprise. You did a letter when you come here, and the letter says it's result. The cause of moving the family. Now, we all are in the dark, as well as your family. So you don't know actually what has caused the withdrawal. So I think that we must take this to our right, that we write to the government, to each make an appointment. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I think all the comments are very interesting and the questions in my correspondence. I'm not going to, I mean, the minister is not respected. I'm not going to afford a higher level of contribution by arranging anything. I left the details of my duty. She didn't get right. But I want to underline four things. Firstly, I would agree to the consultation that presented himself here together with the letter to explain himself to the committee, and also to note that if it was not by the intervention of advocates for us, this letter may not even have come before us this morning. Secondly, I expect of members of parliament, state parliament, that you can't set up a process on state parliament and withdraw it through a gentleman's agreement outside parliamentary process. So I think strong exception to the men I used to what arranged between two gentlemen, the minister and the member. Also for me, this committee is very important in terms of affirming parliament's rights and the rights of women. Members of parliament as legislators in their own rights. Where we don't always depend on the ability insofar as legislation is concerned, commencement of the review of amendment of for those four reasons, I'm very sorry that this is a subject. I actually woke up again early hours to meet with that presentation. I was very excited. It was one subject that I thought we would hands down amendment. It's a pity. So we will still expect Mr. President to be the leader of the committee. I'm going to arrange through your commission. I'm going to on the lifetime meeting on the agenda, so you need to start to send the president for us. So that in addition to my team, we say to you in the meeting situation that we formally consider the election or draw the thing in terms of parliamentary procedure for them. Because it should have so I'm going to expect you to, well, if it's not a Tuesday, I don't know, because next week is the committee, but we are on leave for the committee conference. So for me, I only have Monday and the lead of the committee. Otherwise, it will be the next day. I've not received it. I'll come back to you. Mr. Becker, can I congratulate you on your doctoral degree? And both, I know you will have something in the contract. So, it is even so big in terms of content. One friend has arranged with me, we don't even know the template of the arrangement of between the two of them. In terms of the importance of the conference to the amendment. So for now, I don't think that we can really accept the withdrawal. For now, in writing and telling our issues with you, and still calling before, and at this point, we have not accepted the withdrawal of the proposal. If that comes to a push, one of us will pick up from it and say, I will do so myself with no member of committee. I will take the same amendment and propose it in my own way. Because he can withdraw it and enter a gentleman's agreement. That does not preclude me from taking up the issue, but I thought it was an important issue. Especially because we don't even know the tension between the intent with the minister. To facilitate this important amendment. So, I don't know if I've covered all of you, but I have noticed advocates.
Sure, thank you. Just procedurally, the Supreme is in Parliament at the moment to have a meeting. Do you want me to pick his phone and ask him to present himself to this meeting?
Yes.
If I can get all
the. If you can get all the meetings. Okay. Just try and do this. One problem that before I take Mr. Panabana, this might be an issue of education, just for your information, Dr. You noticed that there was a guy that said that National Assembly was in the other day. And one of the people that said that from myself already, and people in check what was happening. It's a long text though. Okay. And then who was arrested because he was a liberation fighter against, although at this moment, his nationality is not verification. And what he says in terms of the business he had that I managed for him, because he was arrested in the Senate as a liberation movement. He was incarcerated until 1994. And then in 1994, when he was released under a false amendment. From the minute he was incarcerated until the end, the then apartheid state had tied feel as an dissociate. Because we have to keep this happening. And the documents we have is only at that time, which he came to report, so you know, were of European origin. But when he was attacked, he was given a totally different identity. And somebody else was given this authentic identity. And he was reported to Ethiopia. And then he complained and was still deported. And then once in Ethiopia, at some point, President Nelson Mandela, instead of him now, came to visit Ethiopia and he presented himself before President Mandela and stated his case. But he was arranged then that he was an authentic South African and he needed to come back to South Africa. Not giving you the long and short story. But however, the case of South Africa, he was now rearrested and imprisoned again for being illegal in the country. And then he was reported that a long story. But then eventually, when foreign minister, because of Ghana was again visiting Addis Ababa, he again presented his case and told him that he's actually South African, etc. So there is a lot of communication between himself, President Mandela, Tokyo Sukarno, Junior Fuchsie, even the time when he was in prison again for the second time, and media reports to set out actually what is his identity, who is his actually. And he says that somebody came to see him when he was in prison for the second time, who confessed to him that actually he was given this identity, and who claimed then that he was involved. It's a very sensitive difficult one. Claims that he was involved in the killing, the cracking of the chain of Ramona Matel. So he was whisked out of prison just before freedom under the identity of this one. That's why this one that he was given a wrong identity. Then he wrote this person to him the authenticity of his story, and then this person gave him documents which is proof of his story. And then he claimed to subsequently was released and took the documents to President Mandela to say that here is evidence of somebody who claimed he was involved in the same crime and who was released under my name with my documents without being a new identity. And so he wants this document back, which he has given to President Mandela. That's all he wants, is proof. Because he says, that is proof for him that he's actually South African, because in those documents, the person has come back that he knows there is. It's a long story. So he because he had about 60 letters between Bumaka and Protestant, the then head of state, the now head of state, the foreign affairs, etc., etc. He deliberately wanted attention of parliament, but he did not know how. So he ended that way, and I said to him at that point that, you know, you have recourse in terms of petition in parliament. The petition in parliament is not a South African. And if you decide to open the border to South Africa. So I gave him that option, and he is busy. But I said to him, you don't petition the committee directly, you petition us via the sister office. So he called me before yesterday to say that he was released out of custody. The police and they have given him the option that they released him because they want him to use the avenue of petitioning parliament. And then he has shown the amount of the grassroots parliament, but he says that he has benefited the knowledge that he can petition parliament. So, I just want to inform you that this petition is coming. It is currently in the Speaker's office. It is coming. It's quite a lot of heavy, it's a sensitive, a case with a lot of documents that will all have to be close to 50 letters between himself and the state, various components of the state, the then president, the now president, correctional services, former state, foreign affairs. And we think that she can use a good so I was just making you go there. And did you get it?
Sure, it's the voice model.
We need to go around. Let's stick to the resolution we've taken and then depend on each other to start to communicate whatever we need. So that then next week we will be together. I'm just saying, because also that is a feeling time, to just look deeper into the matter and make the necessary recollections. Because in my time here, I'm prepared to.
We'll still send him the letter with the
information.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is that I went to that guy, as in my capacity as a chair of the committee, and mandated to go and tell him that you should have petitioned Parliament rather than the draft, the proceedings of Parliament. So, I'm reporting that to you that I approached him. Jeff, I thought as a parliamentarian, I should do my duty and inform him that he had read the report of petition in Parliament instead of drafting Parliament in 2019 and years after 2016. So, anyway.
Sure, I would move for a field of online benefit action from government.
The purpose of the reasons that I think can be admit that we have discussed at the time that this person is sitting right in the post that could be left out for the public out there what happened. Yes.
Thanks for that. And you must actually that apology must go out to the presiding office.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Now we are to let him call our banner. I hope he did not waste some time.
Of course, certainly.
Thank you. Do you understand the procedure?
I don't.
Can I ask you?
Please do.
All right, thank you. We thank you for coming and conceding our call, which I think in terms of some standards should have been short notice. We just couldn't be assisted with the not just but in some standards, it can be seen as a thank you very much for presenting yourself. The process that we take normally, the sponsor, we ask the sponsor to appear before us to explain the logic behind the proposal, especially to speak to the easiest way we use is to speak to the object of the law and what we think is shortcoming and what is the problem that is being attempted to resolve. Because normally we don't have the act before us that we propose to be amended. So you explaining to us, giving us the ground and giving us the crux of the proposal. After that, we may call you the secretary, sometimes we don't. After that, we then call the affected department. In your case, it's victim of violence, compensation, which means that we will call back. We may need to call further, and I'm not sure. That's last. Yes, that's like that. One or two people. Yes. Yes. Sometimes in our deliberation, we realize that we need to call more than one. Yes. After you have presented and after we've asked you questions to clarify, we then engage the relevant departments, sometimes also the related committees of Parliament. And then we elaborate and then during those times you are free to come to the meeting, you are not obliged, except for when we invite you. But after stating your case, the first time you appear, you're supposed to explain the case and also to motivate your case before us. and to try to aid us about the government of that system. But once we indicate to you that we are such a crisis, when you come, you may come just to the situation without trying to send our answer. So your first opportunity is normally critical for you to make us understand and appreciate your proposal and the idea of convincing us of the relevance and the correctness of your proposal. But beyond that, if you come, I'd rather let you in peace, then you just come for you, just for your understanding of how you are doing. Maybe you can justify yourself if you are doing what you say, if you can do your business. Thank you very much. I will turn over to you now.
Thank you very much. I do have a PowerPoint presentation. Can I sit there and deal with it?
Before the presentation to make this answer, would it be in order just to remove the Democratic Alliance and put a name in there? If someone doesn't know, you are a DA
member of the
ANC,
of the ANC. of Parliament, but you are submitting in your own name, not in the name of the party.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for allowing me to come before your committee. And thankfully, I was not approached by any minister on the floor for any reason, because I would have been in something of a quandary as to what to do. But now that you clarify that, I know if any minister ever phones me, I'll come to phone you. So I think that's cleared it up here. So thank you very much. This proposal has come about after much deliberation, and this is certainly not something that's meant to be a DA presentation. I truly, truly believe that every single member of Parliament has had the sort of phone calls I've received, everybody has received, where you have people saying, I'm desperate that they're going to take my house away because I owe so much in medical bills because I was shot. So the criminal either escaped or is out on bail and has no problem, no account to pay, but I will now lose my home. It is a dire situation. So I think in this country we've now acknowledged, certainly all the specialists I've spoken to have acknowledged, that virtually every one of us has either been affected directly or had a family member affected or a neighbor, a colleague affected by crime. The last National Victims of Crime survey did indicate that at that stage, in 2003, almost 23% of the adult population in this country had been a victim of crime. Now, the severe economic and social consequences of being affected by crime are extremely serious for every South African. And they can certainly range from being unable to work because of the physical injuries sustained. There are high levels of post-traumatic stress, which have a very negative impact on the person, on the family, as well as the direct financial consequences of the attack. There's the attending of court, the legal fees, insurance excesses, the list is quite extensive. Now, these are just some of the socio-economic costs borne, not only by the victim, but by broader society. Because each victim, the ripple effects are quite extensive in that they can't go to work then and hire another. So it's quite financially extensive for the country. And although statistically speaking, the crime rate may recently have dropped 1-2% in certain categories, the overall crime rate is in excess of international norms. And given that the reporting of crime is generally extremely low, approximately 30% of victims do not report crime to the SAT, it's probable that the actual crime rate is in fact much higher than the existing children's record. Now, the general dismay and anxiety surrounding the crime rate is simply not due to social perception. It's that more and more people each year have been a victim of crime. The number is going up and up, and we're now at a point where we face a possible situation where more people have been affected in this country than those who have not. And certainly rape is one of crime that because of its nature is chronically unreported. Women are ashamed. They don't want to go to speak. They don't want to go to court and have to stand up and go through all again. An estimate is made that a cube of 1 in 10 rapes are reported to the police. And when we consider that nearly 55,000 rapes were reported last year, that reality is that over half a million women in South Africa could well have been raped, according to this expert in this country, in 1 year. Now, in South Africa, many victims of crime complain that they are victimized twice. First by the criminals, and then by the criminal justice system, which emphasizes crime as an offense against saints, but doesn't seem to display sufficient concern for the plight of the victim. The victims are stating that the system often gives them little or no information on the process and the procedures in relation to their case, no voice at all in the outcome of the case. And we believe that by not placing more emphasis on the rights of the victim, we as a nation are really failing the victim. We're restricting the rights of the criminal, but the rights of the victim have been allowed to fall by the wayside. And we do believe that ensuring that victims' rights are upheld is actually crucial to provide human rights, acceptable levels of human rights in South Africa. And this bill is aimed at redressing the balance, let's put it that way. Now, certainly experts have told us that a victim of crime has many needs after an attack, certainly the need to access justice and fair treatment, the need to feel safe, the need for information about their case and assistance of various services and NGOs. But in relation to this bill, the priority, I believe, is they need to have a voice. They need to have validation. The fact that they were attacked, that they believe the authorities see that as important. Not that the protection of the criminal is more important than the fact that they were attacked and that is acknowledged, and they need to have restitution. Now, South Africa does have measures in place that are supposed to provide for some of the rights of victims of crime. I'm going to refer to three, and then I'm going to look at them very closely and the facts as they stand today and how they are not doing what I believe this bill could do. We're looking at the service charge for victims of crime, or otherwise known as the victims of crime and accessibility of justice. Why don't you do a question? Service charter for victims of crime is popularly called in the media or elsewhere, but I certainly believe it's the correct name. Service charter for victims of crime. We have the victim empowerment program that falls under the Department of Social Development, and then there is the uniform protocol for the management of victims, survivors, and witnesses of domestic violence and sexual offences, and that's the NCA. So certainly, existing legislation in some areas refers to the rights of the victim. They include, amongst others, the Domestic Violence Act, Children's Act, Offences Act, that's the Police Act, as we speak, and the Probation Services Act. The Criminal Procedures Act also allows the presiding judge to order compensation to be paid to a victim, if appropriate. But the reality is that many cases are struck from the roll or withdrawn or dismissed because of a lack of evidence. And in order to ensure that the perpetrators of all disasters really do see a major improvement in procedures, we're really being swamped in the tsunami of crime in this country. So the victims are here being washed along with the tide. Now, if we look at the victims charter, the service charter for victims of crime, was designed to confer rights on victims, such as the right to receive information, the right to protection, the right to compensation, and the right to restitution. And it was in its time held as a policy aimed at taking care of the needs of all victims, supporting minimum standards setting out what the service victims of crime could expect to be entitled to. Now, it contains information about what victims can expect, but despite its strength and relevance, one can imagine, it does have major shortcomings. It has only been approved by cabinet. The Department of Justice's Gender Directorate is currently finalizing implementation plans for all relevant government departments. And when they're ready, it will be submitted to the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster for approval. And then they're looking at a rollout program that will be rolled out at some stage. But it's most certainly the charter is not in effect. And one of the things is that it really does not make provision for a state fund for all victims of crime, which is addressed in my proposal. We also have a victim empowerment program, that is the second one I referred to, focuses on all crime victims, although perhaps particularly women, children, and rural communities, was developed by the Department of Social Development. And it is intended to refer both government and civil society providers some services to victims. And it looks more at helpline shelter, counseling services, and healthcare. And has produced some positive results since its establishment in 1999. Just over 200 projects have been established. But again, there is no provision for compensating the victim. And finally, there is the Uniform Protocol for the Management of Victims, Survivors, and Witnesses of Domestic Violence and Sexual Offences. And this positions itself as complementary to the, again, I think what you call the Victims Charter, the Service Charter for Victims of Crime. But the obligations of the protocol place a substantial burden of providing a range of additional functions to the actual services of victims. Service providers are expected to implement mechanisms for monitoring and evaluation as determined by authorized bodies. And it seems very difficult. We have made repeated attempts over a period of weeks and weeks to contact the NGA, ask for an update on the status of the protocol, and it really does not seem to be at all in any way near functioning. So these problems are around the periphery and may seem to have some impact in the areas that I would address within this bill. Now, while to attempt to make the victim the central focus of the criminal justice system is something that we're attempting to do in this proposal. And we do feel, and every expert we've spoken to, every victim we've spoken to, the belief seems to be that the attention of the criminal justice system is directed a and some might say quite rightly so, as apprehending criminals primarily. But comparatively, this intent is given to the victim of violent crime. And it is certainly our belief and the belief of many South Africans, and perhaps my thinking side, that a criminal justice system must identify, capture, and prosecute criminals, but at the same time, that must be equally balanced with the need to provide for the requirements of the victim. And what we need here is a victim's policy that is actually brought to life. And the right to compensation is something that needs to be focused on. Too many South Africans are really brought to their knees by what they go through.
Do they owe you to not to wonder?
The proposal as it stands is a provision for the establishment of a fund to which the victims may apply for compensation. We're looking at funds being drawn from various sources, being fined, imposed, and sentenced by the court, or bail money, monies that may be appropriated by Parliament, donations of requests by individuals or bodies of corporate, and monies raised from the sale of assets seized by the state, which are no longer required for criminal trials, such as motor vehicles, machinery, and the like. There has also been a suggestion that perhaps convicted criminals serving their sentences should be required by law to donate a portion of any income during that sentence to the fund as a means to say the criminals are now paying restitution in some way to the victim. It would obviously be subject to auditing by the Auditor General and to parliamentary oversight. It would be managed by a group of trustees appointed by the Minister of Justice, and it empowers the Minister to appoint trustees for the fund and make regulations in terms of which the fund will be managed. Now, in order to qualify for compensation, and this is a point we've had a huge amount of debate on, and it's still open, obviously, to a huge amount more. The feeling was that the victim's perpetrator would have to be found guilty in court of law. However, considering the difficulties in apprehending them as a criminal, there may be, at this stage, room to establish of a panel that decides whether or not they accept that the person has been a victim of violent crime, even if the criminal has not been apprehended. Certainly, I don't see why a family who named breadwinner has been murdered should go without compensation for that murder is not happening. But that certainly is something that is open for debate, that it would have to be very carefully monitored and obviously must be extremely well controlled to avoid any possibility of fraud. A process from the criminal asset recovery account will be used to set up a fund for the victims of crime. $200 million has been paid up directly to victims. Those figures were from October 2006. Those are financial crimes. $66 million in 2005. Most of that went through 35 before it was worth it. So we do seem to have compensation on financial compensation for victims of financial crime. That seems to be working, but not for victims of violent crime. Now, restitution and victim compensation schemes are increasingly being used worldwide. It's not groundbreaking. A groundbreaking document. It is in line with procedures elsewhere in the world, and while mechanisms such as the Criminal Procedures Act do allow compensation for victims by setting up a dedicated fund for victims of crime. We believe that this would deal with an enormous need and a gap in our legislation. And there's also a need feeling that the victims need to be allowed in some way to participate in decisions concerning them. So they may well be made a part of this proposal. In conclusion then, I do believe that the justice system needs to be repositioned to ensure that our victims of crime are compensated. Once the whole system is improved, this could be implemented exceptionally well. And we're looking at a strong where we can concretize the rights of the victims, the many hundreds of thousands of victims of violent crime in the country.
Thank you very much. This is not to you that you to us and the police. And the family to know the fact that I had to the proposal, the only thing we need, we normally also look at procedure and not affect our lady, whether the submission was submitted according to the correct channel. We don't see a date for the evidence. But we only see that you are given to Mr. Handy with advice and process. So unlike others who doesn't have the strength of the protocol, I think before I find anything we can do, we need to bring it to our ownership. Mr. Hanna, do you yourself say that this hinges on the justice system and the need for balancing the issue of you are on the first thing, it will in a way reposition the justice system of the system. So it's actually appears to be a very small proposal, which will, however, have very strong impact on the entire justice system. You yourself, are your leader. And firstly, I want also to say that crime is a worldwide phenomenon. Having said that, we don't undermine the level of crime in the country. The president himself, in the address to parliament, the opening of parliament, highlighted, agreed with many South Africans about the issue of crime, and his own mid-term self-evaluation says that crime will be one of the three things that we focus on in the last term of the program, the last half of the program. I can't remember if crime in budget, I know crime was, but it's crime in Zimbabwe, and I can't remember if it's crime. He did a self-evaluation of the president's system and mentioned three critical things that he would focus on in his president for 2.5 years of the remainder of time. So that shows you the president of the system agreed in terms of addressing crime. I would like to suggest that it looks like we will shift politics to bring before us examples from these countries in the world. You mentioned the UK, I think, somewhere in the presentation, where you say that such a compensation fund at some extent operates. So we will need you to present this before us the next time we meet. We also need the hard copy of the PowerPoint for as soon as possible, and over to our secretary so that we can make And it looks like we will have to call the following department, and I'm opening this to the comment of the Justice of Sport and Digital Development. Justice as justice, but also NPA as a component of justice and treasure. Under which department is criminal considered as justice? So those are the preliminary questions that I think we will have to consider. But even before I open to the committee, I want to take two examples of a form of conversation that I think is to place in a sexually related case that I just did before I became a member of parliament. I've always been interested in that. There was a 16-year-old who had been raped by the stepfather since she was 11, who reported the case to me, it was 2 years before I came here, and I took it up because the victim lived in the house with the police officer who was the stepfather, and the mother, actually for us to know, the mother had gone to a press conference and caught them red-handed. The child was almost 16 that time. And then the child has actually been speaking with his sister together. So we put them into the protection unit facility. During that, and then the kids left for 3 years. By the time the kids ended, of course, I'm happy that the policeman was acquitted, much to the surprise of all of us, but despite the fact that he was caught red-handed in a sexual act with a minor who was almost 10 years old. But during those 3 years of them being in the victim program, we had the child, we had taken her from a country school into an expensive private school in the country. That mother had another 3-year-old whom he had put into a very expensive place for 3 years. That mother was semi-literate. By the time the case ended in 3 years' time, she had completed matric out of state facility and had spent the private tuition in the house. It just means the local state house, etc. And she had also a baby computer lecture. And when the case was acquitted, when it came to an end, during that time she had enlisted for an advocacy house program. So by the time she went out of that program at the end of the day, she had an advocacy house in her own name, and she had a matric qualification and a computer qualification. The girl had matriculated excellently out of the private school. The child was also now the small child was almost vocally English, etc., was entering primary school with a sound routine in terms of any childhood learning. If you calculate all those things, the fact, to me, that was a form of compensation. The difference is that it did not go into the private proper. In fact, a monthly that woman was also getting 600 rand from the state, apart from rosary and school uniforms, and the children were transported to the state vehicle, because when you are in the protection state, nobody must know where you are, so they were transported to school, and back to the guide state vehicle state, etc. So for me, at the end of the day, if I would sit down and calculate what the state spent, including, I won't count the absentee house, it could run into a million. So for me, that is a form of compensation. So I'm raising this because I want to understand your compensation as to whether you mean direct investment, financial investment from the state into the pocket of the victim, or you would consider that kind of a state assistance where compensation is not directly financial into the public or part of the system, into the public or the system, as compensation.
Sorry,
yes, and then I'll pick everybody.
Okay.
I don't know if members wanted to see before.
Oh, God.
Will you answer it because you take a second bite after the so you can record it so that you don't forget it? Yes? Okay, then I'll take the member. Mr. Swap and Leslie Abraham, Mr. Shulu. Okay.
Chair, I trust you will allow me a series of questions. You want me to have a second for my discussion. First question, the proposer. This whole proposal goes about the sums for victims of violent crimes. Now, if you make reference to the victim's charter, the VEC and the protocol, do any of those three documents or items, or any current enacted legislation in South Africa make any provision for a fund to compensate the damage of victims of violent crime? That's my first question. Because, Chair, I think we need to look at, she didn't go through the whole village itself. And she needs to go through, I think we need to look at the village. I'm considered the village itself. And exactly in terms of crime levels and victims of violent crime, we need to know that. So first of all, my question is, would be for us to submit that saying if there are anything in act that even if not properly implemented in South Africa, be it legislation, be it charter, be it protocol, give any attention to the right of a victim to claim damages which was a result of a violent crime. Why am I asking this change? Because in South Africa we've got a situation where we've got our own acting stuff, where all of us pay money into a levy that goes, and if you get involved in a car accident to the negligence of another person, or even not, whatever the case may be, it's not a violent crime, but a criminal action. The state awards damages to that victim. Now that money comes from the fund. The money in treasury comes from the taxpayer. So I'm just trying to draw some principles because I would want that to answer on that way. Because the weapons come from...
No.
It's
not
enough. You must protect because the weapons from the station fund, where if you get injured while you're working through the negligence of your employer, you get compensated for the damage. Now, first of all, I want to understand properly that what we are talking here is we are talking about the damages as damages would be in terms of a law delict. We're not talking about punitive damages, in other words, damages exceeding or awards or compensation exceeding the level of your damage that you actually that was caused to you. In other words, I want to know if what the intention is here. Similar to what we have with the road accident funds, the workers' compensation funds, the victims of financial crimes. To hear that is terrible. That the person who's been defrauded can get compensation from a fund, that the person, the small children of the person that was that was killed, has no right. But if you kill through a motor car accident, then you've got rights for income loss. First of all, I want to know, are we talking about damages as we could actually guaranteed in terms of their own act and stuff. However, medical damages, medical expenses, future medical expenses, a loss of income due to the injuries, trauma, in the sense of loss of income, future of income, loss of support for children, and future loss. Those are the special damages, and then get general damages to people for finding suffering. So we're trying to take that out of our funds, and we will go before the support of but I just want to know, is that what we are talking about? In other words, are we talking about the basis similar to the RAF, hopefully not with the same problems that we have there for coming years, but where the state, like they do with the RAF, levies from the taxpayer, and well, they've got taxpayer money anyway, but now this assisted with fines and penalties and those things, and are we talking about the same thing? Now, if we're talking about the same thing, then I have to say immediately, I actually think it's a shame that we're doing that sometimes, but we should have to care to compensate people for those little things. But that's something that we will discuss with the committee. Just want information. See, then the presenter said to us that we talk about victims of crimes where the perpetrators have been tried and found guilty, and then he said, but there's a discussion about shouldn't there be a board for all these things. In the proposal itself, there's nothing else. The proposal just talk about people who are found guilty. So once again, she must indicate...
You're not actually speaking
at No, she can't. She must indicate if it was a slight remark or if this thing eventually goes to the proposal committee to deal with it, because once again, if you look at the RAF, you don't need to... You don't need to become guilty of reckless driving or negligent driving or even couple of homicides before the fund is set on the road. So those are things in
change.
Okay, those are the two questions. I just want to say further that I would also like to talk about further information. I would like to see some facts. That is actually comparative law as far as I'm concerned, because it might not be only comparative law in terms of the specific victims of violent crime, but it is similar things where damage has been caused by somebody where the state accepts some responsibility in the office.
You may say to them as you go and do comparative law to it, am I guilty and not understanding what the actually can expect you to do for the committee? Yes. So I was just saying that, but I'm telling you that, but I'm saying what you are saying for you.
Well, this is a very encouraging my last sentence, but I said, you ask her to look at similar situations in other countries in terms of their laws. We call it comparative law. I think that's good. But I also think that in South Africa itself, we need to look at comparison. Do we have similar situations where we look where a government or that's why my questions are if something is working so strongly is good. We don't need to go and live in another kingdom. It would be good to get something from there and something from other places. But I also think that in South Africa, there's a federal state, there's a practice for it. We do accept these types of responsibilities. The most important first, my first is I'm trying to ground them for so long, like I just need to say that. first of all, I want to know whether anything in any of these things that you mentioned, or any law in South Africa that might be used in any compensation for the
Yeah,
I think
it's thank you for coming. I hope you got what you need for right now. I hope your friends are in touch. Because I'm over to an issue that you needed a part of for the company.
Yeah, Jefferson, thank you. Yeah, because I'm not a lawyer, but I think I'll be saying what, in a way, it is part of the investigation. Now, my first question is that maybe something that the doctor that you say, Colonel Bernard is a member of the committee in Taxi. The reason is not to interrogate your Taxi to try and benefit in terms of a presentation, but in the next presentation, she has to take us on what processes that we use. Because I'm just relying on my memory. As a member of Parliament, I remember some say maybe whether this was once taken here or was a public hearing in Parliament, or some debate around this issue. And the reason being, so that if there was a public hearing also, that will assist us in terms of what input was there, which then is linked to the point Advocate Trump has raised, that in terms of the state of court. Because you see, that presentation is, to me, is so broad. While I would say it has a kind of so broad that when you define it, you can take the whole room so that it ends up specifically. And then also, the system itself, when you just use an example, we have a situation where in correctional services there are people, is it before a person has been charged or not, because we also, in a case, is a concern of a wasting time, which also is a
concern.
That's why I'm saying, in order to know when that this thing starts, is it from the day to the issue. There are issues also, because I wanted to add also that the human rights question should be present in terms of the human rights, because the issue
human rights commission.
Yeah, human rights commission. So that as this other department will be presenting, we still have that is agreeing with the principle that no one can say we are not sensitive to the balance in terms of the victim, whether physical or psychological, the case, the trauma and mentality, how is it defined? Because it takes the very example you have raised, where do you start in terms of screaming and all those things? That is enticing the presentation also, we believe that there has to be, having mentioned some professionals, you know, like to support the argument in terms of research, what you see, because it is clear that when you drafted the input, there is some thought. Just to say, there are supporting arguments in terms of what I'm saying. And I'm saying this is a very, very broad challenge. But Jefferson, even before we get into the temptation of engaging with the state, that it is clear that our next meeting will be in a position of the discussion. I would like her to respond on the question, not to say interrogating her. Because a member of Justice would know as to whether at some stage they did this with this view. That's to empower us, so that on our, as well as what she has mentioned, of course, international, that references that will support, because the intention is to. How best can she motivate a case for us that she convince us? But to try and not, it is too broad to me, in what specific areas would she see she's just mentioned, which also by the international practice in terms of correctional service, what is it that they do, I would like to be influenced by the past, where parties were sold out to work for, I think, but it's one area again, that even correctional service, how do you find that? But I think that it might be part of the research that makes it more important. But the last one, interesting, that has to do with us. I'm aware that you did say you deal with the issue, but I want to take it away from yourself and the sacrifice. There is a trend on behalf of the community, and I think this we have recorded, I'm saying the past two or three meetings. We are not sure whether the Secretary of Department has changed procedures. We are no more finished with the process as it in terms of, and I think we indicated in our last meeting that really, in order to correct that, we'll have to please you see that maybe we have to decide not to deal with anything if such processes are not really sufficient. Because at the end of the day, we will be trapped. We should remember some states. You said, we are just for progress sake continuing. But really, from the speaker, we must have proof evidence in terms of what group has the proposal covered to say that the replacement for the
Thank you. We come
back to that issue. Mr. Wang. Yes, President, I'm sorry to be late. I'll just have a point of clarification. In the proposal in section 3, in subsection 2, it is sort of just shout out once a victim being compensated in A, B, C, D such way, that's not he or she's not subject to further compensation. Although my query is now in the whole of section 3 is if even the title says that victims may be recompensated from the fund. So I'm confused. Does it mean that the victims can be compensated elsewhere in other fund or in other sections, then being recompensated from this particular fund again, and what are these possible situations? I think that might be just a wording of this title, but that's some clarification on this.
Maybe we should take this balance test, and then we take another one. Thank you, Chair. Starting with the difference, as I see it, is that while we have certain funds already created in the trust, they are related directly to individual payments on a regular basis, or a tax, such as the road fund, which is an individual payment covering every individual who drives a car. In the instance of crime, we go back to the Constitution, where individual citizens of this country are guaranteed their safety. That then moves us immediately into the mandate of the state, and it is seen as the state's responsibility to keep individuals safe. Therefore, the state would administer a fund without asking an individual to pay fees monthly to ensure that they have some sort of insurance in place. You mean that the fund will be here for the state, but it will compensate them when they are not. Simply because it is safe to keep us safe as safe in the Constitution. So while there are similarities to funds such as the ones referred to by Africa Clark, there is a definite difference. I don't think it's a tax individual to say that it's paid towards the fund, people say that safety is being guaranteed in the Constitution. I don't know that it works. Simply looking at the specifics of the power, this would obviously be worked out within the regulation along the line of the insurance compensation. They know exactly what is paid out if one uses an eye or a limb or a knife. That is how it's paid out by
are insurance firms in this country all around the world. So the actual determination of the compensation would be within the regulations, and the city would be along the lines of insurance and business compensation. I would also ask about the fact that certainly there is compensation already for the victims of financial crime. And then we have the proceeds of the criminal assets recovery account. Now, that we believe is used to set up it. They are compensating those who use goods and chattels, but certainly there's no compensation at all for people who use the part of their body for their life. So that's the function. The issue of being convicted or not is certainly in here, that in order to prevent fraud, it is felt that the criminal must be found guilty before you have access to that the victim was a victim of crime, a violent crime. I do believe, and I know I'm walking down my own case, but I do believe that the issue of the victim has far greater number of bodies before a final decision would be taken on that case. Considering the fact that, you know, I'm not a member of just parliamentary safety and security, but that I'm very well aware of the difficulties and apprehension of the criminal. That's why I have my own reservations about this in the mind that this is a threat. Certainly in the presentation I gave, I have a list of 18 specialist documents and references, such as National Victims of Crime Survey from 2003. There are any points I didn't feel it appropriate to, but I'm certainly quite happy to forward you a list of the references that I used. There were no references to the law in other countries. I will prepare that document. And finally, victims on section 3 of the proposal says victims may, I'm sorry, you just pointed out this, victims may be recompensed, not recompensation. So really, recompense may be paid out, not recompensated. So the policy on that, recompense, so it's not recompensated.
Compensation means that you are compensated for your real life. Recompense means that you may get something. Recompense only means compensation for serious mistakes or fees. That's the type of something like that.
You must tell me about this may. What may means you may not.
The decision of course is by the panel.
Yes, you have not supposed. You only suppose that can be.
Well, the
We
had the trustees amongst the trustees would be people of high caliber who determined by the minister and appointed by the district who would determine whether they were satisfied with the person that the individual or would be trying to access the money for them.
If it becomes law, it should be clear that even when you were a victim, even when there is proof, you might not be protected. I'll come back to you. I don't want to interfere. I'll explain why I'm saying this and when after the second half. And before I speak all other names, and I'll put my issue down so that I don't forget to do that. Mr. Wenboy, clarify both compensated and recompensed. Okay, I'm taking another set of things. I'll take both of not spoken first. and then we'll be there. We'd like to have a look before she comes back. Or you don't mean every individual, you mean examples?
Yes.
Or as examples.
Okay.
Yes, so we could tie up with the situation here that is in front of us. And it's necessary for us as a committee to recommend Congress the inquiries that have been done. So why we don't see why the others cannot be done. You know, we've got some leeway to look into what has happened and what hasn't happened and what can happen. You know, like compensation, what can a change or be used, you know. And as you said, may, that is a long way. May happen, may not. So I think we need some sort of examples that has been presented before we change.
With the assistance of the relevant countries?
Yes.
Because the UK is like people are giving me impossible tasks to have this stuff.
Yeah.
Mr. Jim Becker.
Thank you. The proposal before us, simply, I'm just talking my own mind here, is, you know, whether it be judged, whether it's frivolous, or whether it be success. I've got no qualms in myself if I can see that it is definitely something that one could work on. But having said that, this is such an interesting legislation. I would like to take you back sometime when we discussed procedures in this committee. That technically it would not be necessary that you must have legislation spelled out in detail, but basically that the memorandum saw such legislation and why it should be viable in that country could also serve. And one could just, in general terms, look at this as a fair. Now, the point that I'm just coming to is that the financial implications can be made. And if I look at section C, 2C, the fund for equipment that I was talking about, it would say that any money is appropriated by Parliament from time to time. The moment that you move into that particular category, to a certain extent, I think we must realize that the hands of this committee are starting to get tough. It is not to say that it should not go forward, because if it is going forward, obviously, legislation of this nature, and this is why we pull on other agencies and particularly state authorities, to come in and sit in with this particular to me it is clear that it is so far reaching the effect of it that it would have to be something that we must hear from those agencies whether it is possible to take it on board or not, or that I think that is the key. Without very cold water, I think it is a wonderful gesture that we are looking at this particular legislation right now and that we can think about it. Because surely we've got the two categories which is applicable over here. The one is that where a person is found guilty, but as the Colonel Government has stated, by far the majority, you will not have people that would be between the doctor being accused of, it will be people that have walked away from that guy. Well, that is then the aspect where one should really so the convicted is not necessarily the person who has to stand up. But although this probably sounds at a later discussion, I don't want to go into what I personally feel and how that is. I try to separate that, because that is for another meeting where we are then discussing the procedure forward. But I think that's the few comments. I think that we also put Ms. Garner exactly in the position that it is not now that either this committee accepts it or we reject it, and that it is now online.
And we can speak at the regular.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, that's too sad, my goodness. Yeah, but I know that, but I just want to say that you can help the Indians to prepare me for the next meeting. I'm trying to figure out a problem which you are to present it in 2009, so that the explanation that you can't draw, because we might lose focus and focus on the motivation more than the problems you make at work. As I'm saying, I'm a new professor to each other. So that then that will help her in terms of the other things that you want. But I still have a gray area, but without blaming her, this I'll find out. My question is not necessarily related to whether she's in justice. But because I hear she's in the cluster, I still have a sense that whether it was set or whatever, there was a debate around this issue. Or maybe it was in the media.
I would like both of them.
Yes, maybe it's in the media. And let me explain why. The person, it will put her more at ease to try and get this information before departments come in to them. Because the politicians, it is officials who will come and present in their own way, cut and dry, as they are, and lose out their point. That's why we are saying, we are trying to help actually. Any, despite what is in place, what could be the issue? Then, the last one, she mentioned the charter, I'd like to have a copy of the charter. So that as you link it to the constitution, I'm aware, that's why I said you can. She's trying to motivate more than, because if you go deeper into how we are that with lawyers can better do that and confuse us more. But I think that will also kind of bring it.
In fact, I want to know if this memorandum is with cabinet. Is it classified? Because this is still house. I don't want to ask you to know how this is going to get hold of it. Because I don't want us to sit with documents that are still classified or that. So the doctor signed this one for it has been approved, has only been approved by Canada, and there it has been. So it is in circulation. You probably should have it. I don't have it with me now, but I can certainly answer the question. But I mean, it's not about it. No, this is not about it. Okay. Matt, would you like to answer?
Well, let me use Mr. Arthur Keaton, and I'll put my question on for the general.
Yes, thank you. Let me confuse myself.
Yeah,
yeah. Sure. I think we're heading. I agree with you.
I think
what I do think is, I think it's an introduction. board meeting that changed. I can't take over, but that was the right question. I think we need to focus on what is exactly in some of us to do. I think we need to focus on what we do. Not just what's actually very, very simple. Proposals to create a fund to decompense the in line, and I think I may have a comparison to RA. The easiness about this is for me to keep exactly on the line. Levies may be totally too little, that means that the taxation that comes from depending how much you use. Therefore, in other words, the bigger the risk you expose yourself, the more you fund. As you talk out, you see something coming, you can come and go back to them. So the funding itself of the fund is not going to be a subject for different. See, what I wanted to actually say will be very interesting, and then you might, I don't think there's been any questions of thought that. But it might be very interesting for a victim of a serious violent crime to go to the Constitutional Court on a matter of discrimination. Of course, if he has been a passenger in a motor car, compensation. If he has been a victim of financial crime, there's compensation. If he has been injured, he would get compensation. No, he can't. Discrimination is discrimination. For the RAF for something like 64 billion rand in the way of somebody. We talk about enormous. It's an enormous issue. And that's why we sit with the spot. ACMA was a main protective proceeding on lots of these things. And that's why immediately I can see that. Just for practical purposes. No. That's a practical purpose. No, it's just like the things you talked about, things that you came out of answer to them. Like I can immediately see that we probably won't, if this turns into something, we'll never look at a general damage. You know, it's quite a damage. You look at the general damage, what the support of income, the interest, what's up. Even there, there will probably be a lot of people. But even then, you talk about 20,000 people being murdered. Even then, you talk about. But Mr. Dacker talked about the cost. And I want to say that, I agree with him, but also say that the cost itself shouldn't be the leading factor for us to consider this. For us to consider this should be the, if there is a gap, and it has to be forced.
Yes, yes, yes. Can you just say without addressing advocate to me?
Yes, okay.
I'm just saying because we'd like to have you in this committee for now, advocate. You see, we have two cases in our first case. The first case individual. The second one, we don't have to suspect that it belongs to the same party and help you hang directly. And that's why the separate cases are going to, because they must benefit from you. What we say, you drive in the first case, you can say anything in terms of getting clarity. Whether if you are willing with the ask and take the other advice, I think that is the exercise, that exercise is intended. But it is her, whether she gets the advice or the next time, to then say how best does she construct input in a manner that will be palatable to the ear, the mind, for acceptance. I'm just saying, so that you are not like, because when you have to take decisions, really, you speak not positional, but we are then guided, you know, which has never been the case in this usually responses are all in all, but we say things openly to try not to embarrass, but to say, yes, we confess our academic work and name that the intention is just to sensitize around certain issues. Some of the questions might be misplaced, which you can argue, and all those things. I just thought that you say that rather from here than the character thing, so that you may be protested.
We may want at the end say to give a particular advice in redrafting or whatever, like we did with another person, which you said your objects of the law are too broad, the political treatment is not going concisely. So I think if you want to do so, we must wait for that opportunity when we come up. You may want to give advice. Having said that, my role is to facilitate discussion, and I'm going to create as many problems for you as possible to eliminate them, to help you to eliminate them for us in the next week. As to some of you saying, your PowerPoint presentation was rather too broad, almost all of us. Although your actual presentation is narrower than the previous, but I want to say to agree with them that you yourself say that the presentation means it's almost a border on repositioning the whole justice system, which is a horrendous task. So the implications are horrendous, not only financially with the justice, but also systematically in terms of the justice system itself. I would like to create this problem for you, Mr. Colin Barak. One another example, a lifetime experience that I had 3 months ago. I went home for the weekend and I found a letter of somebody in my church who was sitting at the MP and I invited them over. The brother with me had killed his brother and his father by over a place of food, you know. And then he was still the struggle was going on. He was in, you know, apprehended. But so the mother was there. So the mother is the sister to the man in my church who was 2 years ago. Now the son won't be able to tell him, they won't be able to the mother. The mother is saying the state must leave his child alone because the child has caused pain, damage, suffering, whatever, to herself as a mother and as a wife, and not to the state. So in terms of her own wishes, and in terms of her own viewpoint, and the family shares this viewpoint. This person who has killed 2 people, a brother and a father, his own father and his own brother, the same person. He put in the Africans of England, they said to me, he started him himself and his area markers. You mouthful a lip on his tongue, so he started a skin out. So from first of Kara and the mother's Kara, my mouthful, you know. So I had to go into a justice lecture about, not only about this, a crime against the state, and I said, and I said, if you are not offended, the people of Kansas are offended by the Christ. And in fact, will be further enraged by the suggestion of your mother and your family. So I had to, with my little understanding of a bush lawyer, say that a crime is not only a crime against you. You can wake up and say, at the Moskara and school, at the Moskara and school, at the Moskara and school. They started here in Leicester, so you see that kind of thing.
I'm agreeing with you was balancing the issue of the victim and the state. Then the state, we must not drop the state of this branch. People say the state has a responsibility and an obligation constitutionally to safeguard citizens. We must reserve it the right to protect its citizens and reserve the right for the justice system to do justice. Even justice where it could be not contemplating anybody but apprehending the capital. Something that death penalty necessary. I hope you are not saying we must, I'm saying this because somewhere in your presentation said we must push the victim at the center. But I hope you don't be removing the state from the center. So I think both of them should be at the center. It's not the letter of the victim at above and or over the state, you know. So we must reverse the right the state. Having said this, I will give you a chance to, and also the issue of whether we start, when somebody is convicted or not, I want us to take this on you, go and apply your mind further on this. I will tell you a secret that is known by only people in Parliament now. I went to touch my children's children, but I then read a statement on Thursday about the Bible. I was struck at times by the Catholic writing members when I went to take my daughter in London. They missed on both occasions. When I was entering the school, and they should have followed me also, because when I was entering Oxford, she was, you know, it's at Eastern Boulevard, just at the. They also attempted. Now that time I saw them, they were 17 minutes, 43 I don't know what it is. It was for a month, I could have been. And it was interesting. But I know it was the right. Now in the team, I was highly traumatized. I was very angry. The first attempt I was alone. The second attempt I was with my daughter. It has caused us a lot of emotional stress to the point that I did not come to work yesterday. So it still takes stress at night and causes me both physical and mental pain because I've not been sleeping since then. It's depriving your sleep, it's painful, but we don't know who the victim is. I mean, the perpetrator is. The police have tried to look, the vendors at the robot where I was attempted to be shot at do attest to the fact that he's in the area. But who do you point at? They could have shot me and disappeared. I wouldn't have been a victim of violent crime. But I would not have been able to be compensated. Because nobody was, it looks like nobody is going to be tried and apprehended. So, despite the fact that I saw a bottle green, what is the thing? It was very dangerous. So I'm not saying this thing and confessing this publicly for the first time. There are a few cabinet ministers who know about it and a few members of my podcast. So I'm trying to show you the difficulty of what we are discussing about here and the importance of finding whether we're talking about when there is a convicted perpetrator or when there was, that once we enter the terrain where there would not be an obvious convicted perpetrator, it becomes more difficult for compensation. I will now give to Ms. Paula Bannard and then to the committee final remarks, and then we will discuss the issue for the next.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm very sorry to hear what you went through, but it means in constructing this document, that was my argument. And we had a huge amount of debate about it. And there was one faction that said that it would allow fraud, and I've seen the safety and security chapter and hearing stories such as that. I said that it's too difficult. And it makes it too difficult to own it
perfect. So I do believe that the speech you're through again convinces me that in fact, once you in this instance had proof, because you were, they were witnesses, they were vendors who saw it happen. And in that case, I believe that you should receive compensation to take the trauma counseling for you and your child. That's how I feel it should work. But it is in fact an issue that legal minds, sorry, a certain part on the legal mind in my surround, but state law providers need to perhaps look at that. And I truly believe it needs to be for any victim of violent crime.
But you are doing through this, it's horrible.
It is a court order, and I believe one must have witnesses. You can't just take you can't take a person's word for it. So the trustees who would be judges, people of high standards, would have to take, believe you or not, according to your witness. That's my view. If I may just start at the top here, Honourable Rex Barley asked me to full details of the other bodies that give compensation, such as road accident funds, PARA, etc. Perhaps if I could just do a small input on each of those. I don't know how much.
In the next
one. For the next meeting. I don't know how much.
Just as much as you can. Okay. Just something to say, I think she does that. Just to try, she's doing information available. Just to, if you say, there's actually something to say, there's a number of different things. In other words, just to give communication, we certainly can't actually do fight for pain and suffering, we just fight for the people.
No, but we don't want
to
make it
complicated. No,
whatever you need, what I can get, you'll be happy with. All right. Honourable Baker used the phrase that the financial implications can be horrendous to the state. And I agree. But then the financial implications to the victim are equally horrendous. If a person literally loses their job because the injury is something worse, that is horrendous for that individual and for the family, and we do have to agree. So whatever we can use to get around that, we have a duty to do that. That's my opinion, and that's why I'm here. And you, Honourable Tunu, you asked me to just put it in one sentence, and in fact I was preempted. I'm sorry, from KZN. And my exact definition would be that the proposal is aimed at compensating the victims of violent crime. Full stop. That sums it up every which way. I certainly will attempt to get a copy of the charter. When I used the phrase of repositioning the justice system, I did not in any way suggest that the apprehension of criminals should be in any way downscaled at all, criminals touched at all. However, the attention paid to the victims should be given equal attention. I think that was, if I in any way misphrased that or caused confusion, that was not, I do not mean, it must not be a physical repositioning of the justice system, it must be a mental a readjustment that says, you know what, the victims are as important as the criminals in our eyes. That is what I meant, and if it didn't come across to you, I do apologize for that. And certainly this matter of the cancelling of the perpetrator, I will reapply my mind to, because I'm more convinced in my own mind now that my little reaction to saying that proof would be sufficient. Adequate proof that a person was attacked would be sufficient to allow for that compensation, and that the criminal does not have to be apprehended, because so many people would be disbarred from the entire situation in that case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Each one, 1 second, 1 minute.
I just want to leave out something I came across in Shakespeare as well, and what you said. You illustrate something of what you're talking about, and you should learn something about that. You where a person shot somebody else.
Okay,
this fucking serious. The police came onto the scene, the guy, the person started selling shots, shot at the police. The police shot the perpetrator. Also the nuclear, the nuclear serious. And then, because he was taken into custody, a helicopter came to take the perpetrator off to the hospital. Because otherwise the police would help him out of claims against the police. And he shot. While the victim, the three ambulance that he's over, didn't want to take the victim off the problem because he didn't have medical time. He didn't have the right
good
to
do.
The police organized. They can't carry out victims, they carry out a hit of people. Now that is what I'm talking about. And that's why you need something where a person is shot, or is wounded, or is whatever. That there should be some immediate medical attention. You don't get stuck with that problem of how does this person get to the forensic hospital. That is the imbalance that we have in terms of the rights of... No. You talked about this, what happened to you, in terms of the unidentified emotion. I'm just saying this, you said that with us, I just want to say, that was a bad thing. Can you imagine you and your daughter driving, either of you get wounded, the police come, they shoot a guy, or they wound the guy who shot either of you, and you are not a member of parliament, you don't belong to medical funds. Sitting in the next room, the police cart off an helicopter, which guy was shot at you, and you are left there because the private ambulance says you are not affected anything else when shot. Those are the things that we should. That's why I'm arguing about where does the rights of victims come in the rights of criminals? That's why I want to.
No, I think that can be said. I just wanted to comment to say I'm sorry I missed that, but it shows the seriousness of the danger and things I expect. I'm sorry to make that information. And I will go to an argument that we need better security, but it tells you a lot because the psychological fact is that you in the future not have the freedom to say what you have to say. Because out there, who does it speak? But I think the person is true that we have death in us so far will end up undermining the rights of the people that we have to say.
Now, we have critical problems in that death is positive, but and one of the people that has a temperature is going to the police department. But I'm also conscious of the fact that I might be the only person, member of the committee that brings the police. I therefore suggest that the meeting should carry on just to the South Street. And even if you can stay your headquarters, why should a meeting of 8 or more people, we are run from an aspect of one person. And then I'm opening this up to the committee. And before we talk on this, today, Zola, before we go, the letter, we'll just give you the date right now, the meeting. Should go to justice. Did you say treasury? Yes. It's not justice. Treasury, social development, anything separate from justice. In the justice letter, you tell them that we are also invited to NTA. In the NTA letter, you also tell them that we are supposed to invite the Human Rights Commission, Correctional Service, you invite them to our next meeting, whose things we will talk about right now. You send them the copy of the presentation. You tell them that you have set in this meeting today with the presenter and we'll come to a conclusion that we must come in.
on the legal issue on this issue. You also write to the Committee of Justice, the in my name, in the letter, and inform them that we would like to know if this matter at one point came before the attention and whether they had held any public hearing related to the matter. If so, we would like to be sent the document and the conclusion of the public hearing. And that might be useful for us for the next week. Now, let's talk about the date, the meeting, because we have to attack the date in the record. So, so that we immediately understand.
Yes.
10 o'clock on Wednesday. Laura, this day is going to be small if you call this number of people, because they are going to bring not one community. So will you arrange a better venue and communicate this as early as possible? We may even use the old assembly as all committee rooms.
Could I suggest if finance or public account is not meeting, if finance is not meeting, one of the most appropriate routes is E249, which is very convenient for
I'm just concerned that next week is committee limiting. So we are concerned that the capital committee that normally given the worst terrible accommodation for me. So if E249, so you check between E249 and but if you move fast, if you secure the in for us late, you may get E249 for us. If you are late, you find that it's already booked.
The other one could be D227.
Or D227. And then the last should be all of them. Okay.
This next. Yep, except my government would be, but we are happy with the place to support it. I take my mind back to when I was fighting the same and helping get a new impact control. We adapted and moved to the borders of Pakistan. 5 or 10 for maybe years plus. But they say if you do good, then you can do it. So we can say thank you. And that shows that you and your daughter have an extended family. And they got to be all the same. Yeah, what I was going to actually bring to your message is to say, do not forget the human rights. Because it's very, very important. It ties us to our constitution. Okay. And the first thing.
So we feel to this one. When they attempt, I will not be around. Will I ask Mr. Amshuru to chair the meeting in my absence?
No problem. Except.
I reserve the right to appoint
him.
Yes, just
to
speak as you are.
Yes, please.
No, I know if I do choose, but I kind of...
No, you can come here, you can try to come, Mr. Wayne. Next time, we're going to give a number of...
Okay.
doesn't mean that it should always be. I mean, this is a constitutional committee which should not be party political. So can I just warn you that next time I'm going to appoint the chair who's not a member of the.
To remind you, I think it's a low one.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I'll meet you guys next week. When I come back, during recess, I'll come back to read the records of the minutes and maybe listen to the audio. Not because I'm policy, just because I want to be updated.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And because I will not see you before recess, I wish you a pleasant Sunday. Just know that. Yes,
I do. What? Yeah, I just have to say with my project, if I'm not doing anything.
If you answer,
but I'm not doing anything, yeah, I just need to say that.
Okay. Let's go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, the staff must ask for
help,
especially the members of the ANC. They need to be phoned and to be threatened.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you.